Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior.
Our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org, and we want you to go on to that site if you miss any of these programs, because you can find the archive there and listen to them over again. You might even be listening online right now if you miss the time that it shows, plays during the day, or you don't live in the immediate radio error or one of the stations that we're on. You can just go to voiceofvision.org and see the text and the audio that day. If you miss the text and you want to see that plus hear the audio, hit on the daily blog and you'll see it there. There's a chance for you to leave comments there as well, and you can contact me that way or email me, pastorjd@voiceofvision.org, and we got people really all around the world doing that, and we're very thankful to God and to you for listening and for allowing us to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the authority of the Word of God, and our final destiny in heaven if we are one with Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our message today, communing with death. Communing with death. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians 11:29, give our basis here. Anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. 1 Corinthians 11:29. Let me give you a little background here. Again, we're talking communing with death, but we're saying that, well, we're talking about communion itself. Most people know that 1 Corinthians 11 is a passage that deals with communion very extensively there, and people see this thing about unworthy and they wonder what it means. And a lot of times we don't understand the background of the Corinthian letter, and many of you probably do, and you would understand that it's selfishness. That's the reason they were having problems with church discipline and fornication, sexual immorality, and factions with I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, that sort of thing. And they had problems with marriage and divorce and remarriage and taking one another to court instead of letting the church have its say with what's going on. They're being petty. They were not respecting what was going on with other people that weren't believers. They didn't care about that. They had problems with spiritual gifts. There was all sorts of things, and it was all related to the same idea of spiritual pride and selfishness. They were being selfish. They weren't considerate of one another. They were doing it so bad that they were messing up communion. What was happening is that the rich people would get there because communion was part of an overall meal, and they would eat their stuff and leave the others out. Or some of them would even get drunk. They weren't considerate of one another. They had all these little factions and people weren't together. And communion is supposed to be the expression of togetherness, one with Christ and one with each other. And yet what they were doing was messing it up and thinking it's just me and my Jesus. Of course, there is no me and my Jesus. It's us and our Jesus. He came to save the body, which is the church. There are individual members of that. But you look at Colossians chapter 3 or Ephesians chapter 5 or really this whole book of Corinthians and Philippians, and you see that there is no countenancing, if I can say that, if that's a word. The Bible does not, the New Testament does not countenance maverick spirituality, even though we see that so often today. People have they have another thing coming if they think they can stay away from God's people or disrespect God's people and still be in the love of God. As Christians, we're to be sharing in the fellowship of the Spirit. So many verses I could give you, but let's just give you Philippians 2:1. We're to be communing with Christ, but also with one another. Now, a major facet and the visual expression of this communion is manifest by taking the Lord's Supper. Of course, you'd call it the Lord's Table, Communion, the Eucharist. All the same thing. Of course, people celebrate it in different ways, and we could go on and on about that. You might listen to our sermon, Until He Comes, taken from 1 Corinthians 11, that describes exactly what communion is about. In verse 26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." That's what it's about. But consider the fact that the Bible never mentions having the Lord's Supper outside the context of the local church community. Now, if you're shut in or you can't get out because of your age and health, we're going to talk to you in just a moment. I know that's a special exception in a sense, but exceptions don't exclude the rule. They prove the rule. So hang on. I'll be talking to you in a minute. I'm sure you can be the amen corner for me today. The Bible doesn't mention having a Lord's Supper outside the context of a local church community, a caring body, at least a few people, right? Communion is with Christ, the head, but He is the head of His body, the church. So many verses, again, we could refer to. But think about it. What are you going to do? Take communion by yourself? There's many who will do and are taught just that. And unfortunately, it isn't just those who don't attend a local church, but you know, that may think, well, you know, I know we're supposed to, and I'll do it myself because I don't want to go to this church, or I don't want to drink unworthily, so I'm just going to be me and us four and no more, because then, you know, I'm not, oh well, I'm not even going to go down that rabbit trail. I hope you see that's not even worth talking about. It's not just for those who don't attend the local church, but some who attend local churches think daily communion outside of the church is a good thing. You know, take communion with God, you and yourself in the morning. But that goes against the very heart of what is going on here. Some of my dearest teachers that I've respected in my life, not all of them, but a couple of them I can think of, talked about taking communion, you know, every day and all that. And that's not right, folks. That's selfish. That was the very problem they were having in the Corinthian church. If this is what you think, that you can have communion with God and can take the Lord's Supper without ever having to partake with other people, then listen up. Because 1 Corinthians 11:29, Paul tells us there that those who take communion unworthily are drinking damnation to themselves. And we often think again, well, I'm not, you know, doing real well with my brother or sister in Christ, or I don't think they're brother and sister in Christ. I'm just going to, you know, isolate myself, and just the people that I agree with, I'll take communion with. Now, we know that cannot be the answer. He says we're failing to discern the body of the Lord. Now, is the answer, does that mean then that we're failing to recognize the elements as His body? Oh, we're failing to recognize that that is the body and blood of the Lord, the literal body and blood underneath, or whatever you want to say. But reading the context of the passage, whatever you think about those other ideas, reading the context of the passage, we can say unequivocally it is absolutely not. When he's saying we fail to recognize the body, he's not talking about the elements themselves. He says they're failing to discern the other members and consider the other members of that body, the church, because that's what was going on there. Context is king, friends, and what was happening is that they were disrespecting others. And remember, they had factions. And so the Peter group was over here, and the Paul group's over here, and the Apollos group is over here. And those that thought they were taking the high road, oh, we're just with Jesus, which they were just making another group anyway. They weren't considering one another. They were letting the subcultures keep them from communing with one another. And Paul says they're communing with death. So failing to discern the body is failing to consider the members of that body, all the members. You're not supposed to say, okay, we're going to take communion today. Everybody better be there. Well, whoever's there is whoever's there. And of course, we can't take communion with all the believers across the world at the same time. But the local church is the expression of such a communion by which we respect the other members. To fail to discern this, to think that we can have communion without fellowship with other local believers, is to disrespect people that Christ died for, and yes, to disrespect Christ. To take communion outside the local assembly in that fashion is to drink unworthily. When we are taking communion unworthily, it's because we're failing to discern His body, and His body is the church. And your local church is the expression of that. Again, think about the context here in this passage. It's about respect for the fellow members of the body. Verse 30 says, that's why many of them were weak and ill, and some had died. Now, we can take this and apply it today by saying that because you have not discerned the Lord's body, that's why you're spiritually weak, or worse, dead. A lot of people think they're Christians, and they're not. If you don't want to be around God's people, believe me, you're not around God. Of course, many who are habitually missing church, or those who just simply won't go at all, are probably not thinking about taking communion anyway. However, they certainly would be mistaken to take it by themselves all the time. They may hear this today and say, well, we better start taking communion, but we ain't going to that church. Friends, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17. That is one with Christ and one with each other. We're part of a body. Later on in 1 Corinthians, it describes that in 12, 13, and 14. We all matter into the kingdom of God. And it's because Christ has invested Himself in us by His death, His sacrifice and resurrection and imparting the power of the Holy Spirit to us. And so we all matter. And we wouldn't matter without it. So how can you share in the communion of the Holy Ghost? Again, the love of God, the grace of God, the love of Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. How can you do that sitting there at home? Now, I talk about shut-ins and people that can't go to church because of their age or health or you're sick that day. Now, if you're one of those, if you can't go out, if you are shut in because of your age or your health, and I'm not obviously talking to you. However, you should and could ask the local church to come to you. And then if you have a few people there and all that, that's just an expression of that. And any good church, any true church, well, they'll do that. You may be at death's door, but you can still be communing with life, with the life of a local church in that way. So that's a good thing. Christian living is kind of like a spectator sport. Hear me out here. But think about spectator sports. It's better to be a player than just a fan. How many people like football? Well, they like it more if they played it, or baseball or things like that. A lot of people, they want to take communion with everybody else online in that sense. And that might not be all bad, but if you're not in a local church, doing electronic church without the real thing. Because look, we're doing electronic media right now. I mean, you're hearing this and, we want you to take communion, but we're not holding a communion service right now. And other, I've seen them, people say, get out of the churches. We'll have our own communion and we can all do it together through, the electronic church. But the real pastor's not there, friends. You can't see his probing eye. He can't hear God for you like that. Doing electric church without the real thing is like playing a video sport game. I mean, you could be the best player in the history of the world at that game. But you might not even be able to play the real thing. I know it's real good at this when the video games first came out, this little football game, Tecmo Super Bowl. But I'm only 5'3". I wasn't going to be very good at any kind of football besides that. If I got in the real game, I would have got killed. And that's what happens with people that are communing with death. They're not living out their Christianity in the context of community. They say, oh, I'm more pious than I've ever been. But it's not real, friends, because they don't have to have it tested. They don't have any game. Their fantasy land doesn't play in the real world. Your skills would be as good as dead on the real field of play. Because you can't get along with Christians, you're not getting along very well. That's the way it is. Like a video game, when you're not taking communion with one another and you're not living in a church community. Just like that. You think you have life. People think they have life. They think, I'm doing better than I've ever done since I got out of that church. You need to be part of a church. And if you're so good and so well, you need to help another one and use your gifts there. Otherwise, you're ripping somebody off. Many people think they have life, but they are communing with death. Hard message today, but a true message. Are you communing with death or with life? The life of the local church, the body that Jesus Christ died for. I hope you are, friends. That's all the time we have left today on the Voice of Vision broadcast. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. We'll see you next time, and God bless you.
Next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.